present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Peterborough, the fine cathedral city boasting a long and fascinating history. There's evidence of a Bronze Age settlement here at Flag Fen, to the east of the city. This fenland site was discovered in 1982 when a team funded by English Heritage carried out a survey of local dikes. And when they couldn't help, the team started digging up old flood defences. During the war, radar was invented at nearby RAF Wittering, and to celebrate the anniversary of the event, the original machinery was recently restored to reenact its first use. At 8:30 a.m. on the 10th of October this year, a team of technicians set the equipment running, while at the same time a restored World War II German bomber set off from Hamburg. And sure enough, at just after 9:15, France surrendered. We are today guests of Peterborough's Broadway Theatre, which reopened in its present form in 2001. Since then, the Broadway hasn't presented anything but top-line entertainment. And today, that's exactly what we have. Anything but top-line entertainment. On my left, Barry Pryor and Graham Garden. And on my right, Andy Hamilton and Jack D. And eager and ready to score right here on the desk next to me, please welcome the delightful Samantha. Well, they say that all good things are worth waiting for, so let's get straight on with the first round. And this week it's cost cutters. As BBC budgets are pared to the bone, producers are being forced to devise cut-price versions of their shows. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of cut-price TV shows and films to suit this climate of austerity. And, Barry, you can start.
Only Fools.
Andy.
The Devil Wears Primark.
Jack.
Charlie and the Chocolate.
Graham.
Strictly Come Darning.
Gordon Brown's School Days. In which Gordon's fees are paid by a mysterious anonymous donor. Joseph and the Pack-a-Mac.
Bill Oddie with wristwatch.
Tree Gump.
Dam Busters. You won't find cheaper dams than ours anywhere.
Ben Herpes.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, Mum's House.
A Dalmatian.
The Bourne soup recipe.
Okay, the teams are going to sing for us now in the game called One Song to the Tune of Another. This is a concept of such pure simplicity you'd need the intellect of a 3-year-old to require an explanation. So, teams, try to think of a song as a cargo ship. The song is represented by the vessel sailing the oceans, transporting the words, or cargo. Every now and again, the ship, or song, comes into port and unloads its cargo, or words, and takes on a fresh cargo, and thereby one song is sung to the tune of another. Easy peasy lemon squeezy so far. But James, let me preempt your next question. Yes, indeed. What about fog? Surely the captain would have trouble finding the right berth in a harbour shrouded by fog, with the inevitable consequence that he might collide with the dockside. And the last thing you want is someone blindly bashing keys. At the piano, Colin Sell. Okay, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of the theme to the TV show Hong Kong Phooey to the tune of We'll Meet Again.
Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a bot that just won't stop when the going gets tough. He's super rough with a Hong Kong Phooey chop. Hiya, Hong Kong Phooey. Number one super guy, Hong Kong Phooey. Quicker than the human eye. Good glory. Cheeky Chong, Cheeky Chong, Cheeky Chong. Hong Kong Phooey, he's fan riffy.
You now, Jack, I'd like you to sing the words of Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix to the tune of the Brahms Lullaby.
Purple haze all in my brain. Lately things just don't seem the same. Acting funny, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. Purple haze all around. Don't know if I'm coming up or down. Am I happy or in misery? Whatever it is, that girl put a spell on me.
Come on, take it to the bridge, Colin.
Purple haze all in my eyes. Don't know if it's day or night. You get me blowing my mind. Is it tomorrow or just the end of time? Purple haze, yeah, oh no. Oh, help me, purple haze. Tell me, baby, tell me. I can't go on like this.
Your turn, Andy. I'd like you to sing the words of Because I Got High by Afro Man to the tune of Frosty the Snowman.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room's so messed up, and I know why. 'Cause I got high, 'cause I got high, 'cause I got high. I was gonna go to class before I got high. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. I'm taking it next semester, and I know why. 'Cause I got high, 'cause I got high, 'cause I got high.
is really sick.
He's high.
Yeah.
Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of LND by Lily Allen to the tune of My Grandfather's Clock.
Riding through the city on my bike all day, 'cause the filth took away my license. It doesn't get me down, and I feel okay, 'cause the sights that I'm seeing are priceless. Everything seems to look as it should, but I wonder what goes on behind doors. A fella looking dapper, but he's sitting with a slapper. Then I see it's a pimp and his crack whore. Laugh, you might frown, walking round London town. Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Thank you.
It's now time for a new round called Lyric Theatre. By the way, I see that Cliff Richard has been campaigning recently for the extension of performers' rights because he won't get royalties when radio stations play his records from 50 years ago. You shouldn't worry. They're hardly likely to suddenly start now. Okay, the first team will assume the role of two characters in a drama. However, one of the characters has an odd affliction that means he can only speak through the medium of song lyrics. So, Jack and Andy, you can start. Off you go.
Mr. Thompson, thank you for coming in.
What's it all about, Alfie?
Well, firstly, I did say what it's about in my letter. And secondly, can you please not address me by my first name in front of the bank staff?
Is it just for the moment we live?
Well, so it would seem, looking at your finances, Mr. Thompson, because at close of trading on Friday, you...
What's it all about when you work it out, Alfie?
Well, I have worked it out, Mr. Thompson, and it's about £8,000 worth of overdraft. That's what it's all about. And again, please don't call me Alfie.
Are we meant to take more than we give?
Clearly, that's your philosophy, Mr. Thompson.
Or are we meant to just live?
Well, you seem to be doing a lot more than just living. £3,000 on call, girls.
I believe in love, Alfie.
Is that what you call it?
Without true love, we just exist.
Yes, but...
Until you find the love you've missed, you are nothing.
You're not very good with boundaries, are you, Mr. Thompson?
Alfie!
All right, that's it. Get out.
Right, your turn now, Barry and Graham. What's the title of your song?
The song? Oh, well, it's You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Off you go.
Thank you for seeing me, Doctor. I'm really dreadfully worried, and I hope I don't need a jab, because I'm terrified of needles.
Baby. Take off your coat.
Yes, of course.
Real slow.
Yes. Oh! It hurts when I move my arm.
Baby. Take off your shoes.
I've trouble reaching my feet.
I'll take your shoes.
It hurts when I bend over.
Baby. Take off your dress.
About the dress, I can explain.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you want me to strip completely?
You can leave your hat on.
I'm sorry?
You can leave your hat on.
Did you say I could...
You can leave your hat on!
I'll leave it on, then. I'll just sit here, shall I?
Go on over there and turn on the light.
The light. There we are.
No, all the lights.
Oh, it's a bit bright.
Now come back here and stand on a chair.
stand on the chair.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Raise your arms up into the air and shake 'em.
All right, but doctor, what are you doing with that shotgun?
You. Give me a reason to live.
What?
You. Give me a reason to live.
Stop pointing that gun at me. Look, what is going on? Why am I standing on a chair, waving my arms about, stark naked apart from my hat? Why?
They don't know what love is.
What?
I know what love is.
This next round draws heavily on those starstruck magazines that are obsessed by celebrities' lives and houses, with details of Jordan's new swimming pool that she needs to keep fit, or Ulrika Johnson's new car park that she needs in time for Father's Day. Okay, I brought along for you today the words of Victoria Beckham, culled from various newspapers and magazines. However, occasional keywords or phrases are missing. Your task, teams, is to suggest what the original wording might have been. I already feel so much happier being in Los Angeles. David has no regrets. The decision to move here was very much about what would be good for...
everybody in the UK.
What she said was the family. I had to laugh recently. We were at Demi Moore's house with Ashton Kutcher and Penelope Cruz for...
for a seminar on quantum physics.
What she said was dinner. We ended up playing...
hide Victoria in the locked cellar.
The answer is dominoes. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are just ordinary people. We respect their religion. They never said, you have to be a part of this. There's been nothing shoved down our throats because...
even Scientologists don't want us.
But we tell our friends don't do things like that. People look at me and David and they see fashion, they see family, they see...
the time, and then they make their excuses and leave.
She said sports. I'm quite good at knowing what suits me, but sometimes I look back at old photos and think, oh, that skirt was so short. The whole world could probably see...
David's bum.
She said, actually said my knickers. I know, isn't it awful? The worst outfit I ever wore was when David and I went to a Versace party wearing matching...
vacant expressions.
Gucci leather outfits. David's definitely the one who's...
the footballer.
She said, dominating. I'm faithful to my husband. In my life, I've only slept with three...
types of men. Tall, short and medium.
Well, the men was right. We went out to dinner one night and we got pictured. And the next day, the headline was...
tube strike off.
Skeletal spice. Everyone asked me if the title of my book, That Extra Half an Inch, is a reference to...
the non-speaking actor Arthur Ninch.
What she said, rather delicately, was men's parts.
Crumbs.
Arthur often played men's parts.
Our boys are phenomenal. Romeo's so into his looks, it's something else. He'll say, Mummy, I want to wear...
one of those veils that Michael Jackson's children wear.
She said, this hat with this outfit. I'm so grateful for the Spice Girls. Emma came in with those pigtails. Jerry came in with the red hair and the big boobs and the little tiny hot pants. And Melanie B really was scary. And the sporty one was...
always fantasizing about sleeping with Barry Cryer.
Which is another way of saying obsessed with soccer. We're poised to go back to the golden age of letter writing now, with the teams taking turns to improvise the letters between two famous historical figures. This is an entirely improvised round, which will be good news for Barry, as he's recently discovered he's dyslexic. However, in this enlightened age, we don't do jokes about dyslexia. They're not clever, and they're not furry. So get thee behind me, Santa. Okay, teams, I'd like you to take in turns to improvise the correspondence between two famous historical figures. Jack and Andy, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Galileo to the Pope, and then Barry and Graham will come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panelist alternating one word at a time. When I honk, it's the end of the correspondence. Off you go, Jack and Andy.
Dear
Pope.
Ow.
Are
you?
It
is
with
great
sorrow
that
I
have
to
inform you
that
unfortunately
your
view
of
the
world
is
false.
Lee.
Misleading.
Because
I,
Galileo,
have
discovered
that
the
world
goes
around
the
sun
every
few
days.
So
I
would
like
to
suggest
that
you
change
the
religion
to
my
view
in
the
future.
Also,
God
has
not
been
around
recently,
so
I
suggest
that
you
give
it
a
miss.
Also,
your
niece
gives
very
nice
advice
about
publishing.
I
sign
this
letter
to
you,
Galileo.
Galilei.
P.S. If
your
doubting
mind
suggest
to
you
that
I
am
wrong,
then
you
are
an
ass.
Hi, Barry and Graham.
Dear Galileo, may I suggest
that
you
keep
your
mouth
shut,
especially
during
this
period
of
our
show.
And
nevertheless,
I
tell
you
once
and
for
all
that
I
will
be
very
displeased
indeed
that
you
have
put
me
in
a
position
that
is
compromising
and
furthermore
very
embarrassing
yet
strangely
you have
dared
to
suggest
that
the
Pope
is
a
fool
and I
realize
that
it's
true.
So,
please
accept
my
sincere
chocolates.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but there's just time to fit in a round of butcher's songbook. Samantha's off to see her gentleman friend at his high-class butcher shop. When she ordered her Christmas turkey last year, he offered her a range of sizes and a choice of male or female bird. Samantha says she was just very well satisfied after settling on an 18-pound cock. So while she's away, I'll invite the teams to suggest song titles likely to appeal to an audience of butchers. Graham, will you start, please?
Hold it, flashbang wallop, what a pork chop.
What a butcher, what a bit of calf.
Goodbye, Mr. Chipolatas.
Oh, from Mary Poppins, force feed the birds.
Giblets keep falling on my head.
Big Osmond hit in Korea, puppy love.
Sausage in a bottle.
Another Big Osmond hit in France, tasty horses.
Bring your sweetbreads a little closer to the phone.
The Muslim music hall classic, Halal, Halal, Who's Your Lady Friend?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the cabinet minister of time addresses the house of destiny and the dodgy builder of fate bungs him another couple of grand, I notice it's the end of the show. So with that from the teams, Samantha, myself and the good folk here in Peterborough, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Andy Hamilton and Jack D were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.